Welcome to another episode of That's So Cincinnati. Jason Williams, Sherry Coolidge, Silent Taylor, Intern Taylor on the ones and twos. Phil sitting next to her smiling. Phil is still here. Sherry, how are you?
Thank God for summer interns.
Thank God. We have a great team of summer interns this year. Give our editor, Burl Love, a lot of credit. Jackie Borchert, a lot of credit for hiring talented journalists. Sherry, we're moving away from the PG Sittenfeld trial and verdict.
I mean, I could still talk about it, but let's take a break.
Certainly, there's certainly more. Just looking ahead with the sentencing and all that. But we've touched on that. Nothing new this week. But let's quickly touch on, another kind of political news story that's going down right now, and it seems like it's heating up, and that's the Greg Landsman, Steve Chabot congressional race.
Steve Chabot, he might not have Jamie Schwartz at his side anymore with all of his campaign work and everything, but his playbook remains the same. We're gonna go negative
and play offense.
Yep.
Yeah, so. Certainly Chabot's. He's starting. That race is really starting to heat up. There's been. I've seen some internet ads. Certainly there's been a lot of dueling press releases. Chabot's been putting out a lot more statements. It seems the direction he's going in is, trying to connect Landsman to the corruption at City Hall. He's mentioned the Gang of Five text messaging scandal, of which Landsman was part of. Landsman was not part of, the other corruption that's happened at City Hall. But certainly, we've seen it happen with other candidates. I mean, maybe not necessarily were people who are arrested, but they've been connected to it. John Cranley, I remember it being mentioned on his gubernatorial campaign. So it'll be interesting to see if that sticks with the voters. It's a reconfigured district. Still includes Warren County, includes all the city of Cincinnati now. It's going to be an incredibly competitive race, probably one of the most competitive in the country. Will be a lot of money poured in, and we'll see how it goes.
I mean, I do think that Greg Landsman is busy on the campaign trail. He is on council still, and so I call him, he's the budget chairman, so I call him about budget things. And lately, it's summer break over at City Hall, and lately I've been catching him like mid-campaign things, and so he's on the trail for sure. I mean, I think that is really going to be, we have all these state house races coming up here.
Yeah.
2 weeks, August 2nd, right?
Yep.
You don't hear anything about those. That's going to be the lowest turnout race probably we've ever seen. I don't think anybody knows it's actually even happening.
Yeah.
Because it's just this odd, different date than usual, on top of it being state house races only. So this is going to be the dominant thing, at least here, going into the general election.
Yeah, stay tuned. It's starting to heat up. So we will... we'll keep tabs on that race. Certainly, certainly one of the biggest races here in the region, going into November. Let's jump over. Our special guest today, by the way, is a Law and Crime Network host and correspondent, Anjanette Levy. So many people are familiar with her, former Local 12 reporter and anchor, and is doing a great job of covering a lot of these high-profile national cases. I believe she's down in Florida right now. She's going to be checking in with us here right now. Let's jump over and talk to Anjanette. Special guest time here on the That's So Cincinnati podcast. Pleased to welcome back, for the second time to this awesome podcast, Anjanette Levy.
New job this time, though. It's not the same.
It was December of 2020. Were you working for Law and Crime then?
Hey, guys. Yeah, hey. I was. Oh, hey. I was part-time, and I was still kind of trying to figure out do I go back to local news after my non-compete, or do I stay here? Right. Or, you know, so, right. So I was working there, but I was part-time and freelancing, just trying to figure out what do I do next.
So not exactly breaking news, but I think we see what you decided to do.
Right, exactly.
I just remember that being one of our most listened to episodes of 2020. So we're glad to have you
back. For real?
For reals.
I had no idea. I just know that Joe Dieters rocked your podcast one time. I've heard many of time, I won't say from whom, that he was like the top episode ever. So I just figured I was way below that. So that's actually very flattering that I was one of the most listened to of 2020. I find that shocking.
And that was before you could even talk about Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. They're your best friends now, right?
Right. I don't think Amber is my best friend. So
I noticed on Twitter.
Johnny and I, despite what you may have read on Twitter, Johnny and I have never met and never partied together. But apparently there are some people on Twitter who spread that rumor periodically. So, yes. But that was a wild ride, let me tell you.
So in your job now, you basically, for the Law and Crime Network, which you can find is online, right? But it's like court TV, where you cover the biggest trials going on in the country all the time, right?
That is right. We're covering trials all of the time, but some of them are not always, some of them are kind of, you know, you might think something will really grab people and then maybe it doesn't. So it's kind of hit or miss. I mean, we knew with Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, we knew there would be interest, obviously, but it was off the charts interest. It exploded. So that was much bigger. You know, before that, you know, I think the Chauvin trial, Derek Chauvin, the George Floyd case, that was our biggest trial. And then after that, Kyle Rittenhouse happened. And then that was our biggest trial. And they thought, oh gosh, like that trial was huge for us. We'll never, you know, I don't know when we'll see that type of thing again. And then Johnny Depp falls into our laps, Johnny Depp versus Amber Heard. And that has just kind of, you know, set the bar so much higher for everything because of the interest level.
But I do think it's made people interested in trials again, just in general. Like there's mm-hmm. nothing like a good trial narrative when you're covering the news. Like it has a beginning, a middle, an end, an outcome. You don't know what it is. It's a mystery.
Right. And there's an ebb and a flow. Like Sherry, you covered courts for years. And so there's one day it'll seem to go well for one side. And then the next day it seems to go well for the other side. And so you kind of never know what's going to happen. And you might have a feeling for what you think is going to happen, but then you get to the end and it's up to a jury. So we've seen juries do things that we didn't think they would do. And then we've seen juries do things where we thought, yeah, we thought that would be the outcome. So it's pretty wild. And I think there is a renewed interest, I think, especially with, you know, things like the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. This trial that we heard was pretty huge. So I think people are interested in what goes on in courtrooms. I think they genuinely are, and they should be, because any one of us could become a part of the justice system at any time. Any one of us could be sued. Any one of us could be arrested. Any one of us could have a loved one charged with a crime or, heaven forbid, lose a loved one in a crime. So I think we should all kind of be interested in what goes on in our courts and be aware of our rights and things like that.
Do you, you know, you spent many, many years at Local 12. Before that, you were a reporter in Wisconsin. When we talked last time, you know, you talked about, you covered that story that became the Making a Murder documentary, right, on Netflix. Do you feel like you're now with Law and Crime Network? Do you feel like this is just a real sweet spot for you in terms of what you're passionate about and you're passionate about covering?
Yeah, in some ways I do, but there are sometimes there are a lot of times I miss covering just a regular story. And when I say regular story, like something nice and heartfelt, or the politics, like we don't really cover politics. We do on our website, but typically there has to be a legal angle to it. So I always really loved covering politics, and I like just doing a good human interest, you know, feature story, every once in a while. So I do feel like it is kind of a sweet spot. There are some days where I get kind of depressed. I just got back from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and I was in the courtroom for the Parkland school shooter case. And I will say his name once, and then I'm not going to say it again, just so people realize what I'm talking about if they don't. Because I don't want to say his name, because he recorded a video 3 days before he did this saying that he was saying his name. I'm Nicholas Cruz. I'm going to be the next school shooter. I want to kill at least 20 people and you'll see me on the news. And he wanted people to see him on the news. He wanted the notoriety. So I won't use his name beyond that, but 17 students and staff members of the school were murdered. Many more were wounded. Not many more, but I think 17 were wounded as well. And I was sitting in the courtroom for the last 2 days listening to audio of him murdering these students and just the deafening sound of the gunshots. And I said this on the air, the sound of the gunshots was vibrating in my chest. That's how loud it was. And family members were bursting into tears and leaving the courtroom. One of the videos played on the big screen by mistake. One of the family members shouted out. So that's the kind of case that's just like sickening to me. And just so your listeners are aware, Jamie Guttenberg, one of the students who was killed in this, she has some local ties to Cincinnati. Her aunt and her grandmother live in Cincinnati. So, it's just been horrible. So something like that is quite depressing. And some of these cases are just, some of the things we hear are so horrendous. So sometimes it's kind of depressing, but there are other cases where a lot of the cases, for some reason, I'm able to like not get that feeling. So that feeling of sadness. So it's kind of hard sometimes.
I did want to ask, I've been thinking about you because I've been reading the news about what's happening in Fort Lauderdale with that. And when I'm following your coverage, and I've been thinking about how hard that would be to cover, like fresh off covering a trial and remembering that you have to sit there and you can't just like walk out and leave. It's not a news story where it's like, oh, I don't feel like reading about that. You can put it down.
Right.
Like when you're actually covering the news, you have to stay there and do it. Or you're a family member and you want to stay there and see it. And that's hard too. I was wondering, do you think there should be cameras in courtrooms? Because, of course, in federal courts, there aren't. And that's been, like, a huge thing. Covering so much, what do you think about that right now? It's 2022. I mean, there's a million technology things, right? Didn't make it happen. And it still is not part of the system.
I do think I was actually having kind of a conversation with somebody who is part of the federal courts recently. And this person disagrees with me, but I do believe that cameras should be in the courts, all of the courts, because I think it's time. I think that the days of just turning on the 6 o'clock news or picking up the newspaper in the driveway and reading the news and reading what's going on, or, you know, those days are over. We have a 24-hour news cycle now and people are interested. And with the technology, I think we have to evolve and give people a peek into the system. Now, this person that I was speaking with who is in the federal system said, you know, they think it hampers or hinders, you know, justice, and people start performing because they believe they're on a stage and they're playing to the cameras. And maybe a little bit of that is true, but I believe in transparency. I think, you know, the courts should be accessible to everyone. And even this U.S. Supreme Court allows audio of the oral arguments to be put out now. You can log on and listen to those. I mean, I can log on. I remember I logged on to some website recently in the last 6 or 12 months and listened to F. Lee Bailey arguing Sam Shepard's case before the U.S. Supreme Court. So you can listen to these things and find them. So these oral arguments from the Supreme Court are out there and they're decades old. So why are we not hearing anything out of the federal courts? Why are we not getting a peek inside? I think it's kind of silly. People are going to perform whether there's a camera there or not. I mean, court is kind of a theater, if you will. There's a theater aspect to it.
I mean, I did put up some of the exhibits on Cincinnati.com about the P.G. Sittenfeld trial, because no matter how much I wrote about it, I had to explain that people needed to hear it for themselves. Like, people kept saying, well, what do you think? And I don't mind telling my friends some, right? But I can't put my opinion in the story. I want people to judge for themselves. Do you think he's right. guilty or not? And, you know, we were able to do that on a limited basis. And I was glad for that because I think that in that case, I mean, he's a city council person, you know, was it corrupt or not? People, mm-hmm. I wanted them to be able to judge for themselves what they thought.
And Sherry, it's so interesting to me that you bring this up because I actually said to somebody that I know in the federal courts, because in the Ghislaine Maxwell case up in the Southern District of New York, they sent out the exhibits every day to the press in a Google Drive. There's nothing wrong with that. They're public. They're part of the record. So we were getting the exhibits. You know, most of these were photographs. But I suggested, and I said, you guys should be sending these things out in a Google Drive every day to the press because I think the public should see it. If there are recordings, video or audio or both, people should be able to listen to those and decide for themselves. Because, yes, they're not on the jury. Ultimately, their opinion doesn't matter as far as the outcome of the case goes. But it's transparency. It's part of the court record. So, of course, I think those should be out there. And I applaud you guys for putting those up on Cincinnati.com because the public should be able to see it and listen to it or watch it and judge for themselves to form their own opinions about how they believe the case went.
Does law and law and crime, whenever there's a high profile case that cameras are allowed in the courtroom, live streams right to lawandcrime.com and all the platforms. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah. And really, we air the uninterrupted feed. You can watch it on our website, but also our YouTube channel. And we did, you know, we do that with all of the trials because I think it's great for viewers to actually see the uninterrupted feed, not just what is being broadcast on the network with the commentary and things like that. And I think viewers want to see that. I mean, you're seeing an explosion on YouTube of lawyers creating their own shows. You know, they call them LawTubers. And I actually know some of them. And I think it's great. I think it's cool that they sit there and they offer commentary along with it. But we offer the uninterrupted feed without commentary. So you can sit and watch and judge for yourself.
Yeah, I'm glad Sherry brought this question up and great stuff, Anjanette. I went back and watched the OJ Made in America 5-part series on ESPN.
I love plus that the other documentary. Night.
Yeah,
and it's amazing.
And they had a whole segment in one of the episodes about court, you know, cameras in the courtroom, and I think Barry mm-hmm. Sheck said something like, you know, it. I think you question doing it because it became like infotainment and they interviewed some journalists that talked about how it became sensational. And what do you make that? Do you ever, and again, that's the audience's reaction. Like this court hearing is going to happen anyway. This is a part of our justice system. And so whether there's a camera in there or not, it's going on. Do you ever struggle with that it's infotainment or the audience's reaction or, what do you make of that?
Well, I do agree that OJ did become incredibly sensational, but that is a trial. I mean, that trial is something you see once in a lifetime. I mean, there was no reason for that trial to go on for 9 months, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't know why it did. Obviously, OJ had, you know, the best of the best, you know, the so-called dream team. And I think it did become a little sensational. And I think that, you know, I've heard Marcia Clark talk about this, and I think I read a book by one of the prosecutors. You know, she was changing her hairdo to, yep. you know, please the jurors and all this stuff and all this nonsense.
What and she was I think wearing. Like,
you have to go in and try your case. And obviously these days we're in a different media environment because we have, you know, Twitter and I guess the TikTok thing, you know, I need to hire like a 17-year-old or like maybe like one of the 13-year-olds in my neighborhood to teach me how to do TikTok.
Anjanette, I know.
I'm so like lame. I do Twitter and like Facebook and Instagram, but these TikTok videos are like off the hook, you know, like the things these people do. So, I mean, I think a lot of it is a little bit insane, but it's part of who we are now, you know, and even though I think some of the TikTok stuff is kind of gross and inappropriate, it's part of who we are. And I understand you don't want it to become a circus, but how else do you get what's going on to the masses? Well, you know, I like California drives me insane because they don't like cameras in the courtroom. And I'm thinking to myself, you guys had OJ on TV. Like, what is going on? Like, every time we do a trial or a proceeding in California, it's a fight to get a camera in the courtroom.
Oh, do they not have it in the courtroom anymore because of OJ?
Oh, I don't know about that. But I know for, you know, Harvey Weinstein in the last year was in court for some sex crimes charges, and we had a camera in there for that. But I know we requested a camera in another proceeding, and they said no. And really, it's up to the judge. I think especially with COVID and the COVID numbers going up, they, you know, getting a camera in there is a way for it to be accessible to the public and not having people crowding into a courtroom. Because let me tell you, at the Depp trial, 3 days after I got home, I was diagnosed with COVID. And it was no joke. I was sick as a dog, and I'm still not right from it. So a lot of people at the trial got COVID, which was unfortunate. So I think that, you know, they have to take that into consideration, too.
Hmm. One of the jurors in the Sittenfeld case got COVID.
Yeah.
It doesn't surprise me. You're sitting in a room breathing the same air. And even with social distancing, it doesn't matter. I mean, you could pick it up at the grocery and everybody then spread it to everybody else. And I will tell you, I don't wish it on anybody. I went like the whole pandemic without getting COVID. And then I go cover a trial in Virginia and I get COVID, and it was awful. So, I when I traveled just this past weekend, I wore a mask on the plane because I do not want to get COVID again.
You've seen the worst of society in your job and covering crimes and courts, and you've seen a lot. You've covered a lot. What do you do to get away from that so you can keep doing it and keep doing it at a high level like you do? Does it ever kind of wear on you, emotionally? Like, does it, and if so, like, how do you get away from it to be able to just move on to the next story?
I try to just like decompress. I mean, when you're in the middle of something covering it, I feel like you have to kind of, if you're feeling upset about something or something makes you feel sad, you kind of have to just push it down and push it aside and compartmentalize it. And I'm pretty good at doing that. But there are cases that have really bothered me. Cases involving kids really bother me. I don't like covering cases. You know, I recently, for our podcast, Law and Crime Sidebar, I interviewed Joe Dieters about Marcus Faisal and the fact that David Carroll was coming up for parole. And I was feeling sick to my stomach listening to Joe talk about this because it was so horrific. And I wasn't here. I was in Wisconsin working in local news when that happened. But cases involving kids are important to cover. But it's so horrible to me that you could treat a child like that. So I think you just have to like kind of process it. You have to kind of think about it, talk about it if it's bothering you with people that care about you. So that's kind of like what I do. That I just try to like work through it myself and the sadness of it, and then try to, you know, think through it and then move past it and just keep working. Because there's always, unfortunately, there is always going to be something horrible happening. And I hate that we live in that world, but it's just the reality of it.
Yeah.
I think we need to all move to Candyland. I play that with my son sometimes, and I'm like, this looks delightful.
I know.
Everything's like lovely and like,
I know.
Does that sound silly? At least maybe we can go to Candyland for a couple weeks.
But it also creeps into our houses with kids. I mean, we watch the news all the time. Yeah. Like just regular evening news is on in the house. And from when Jack was a baby, like we didn't really shield him from like, we're news consumers and like in the pandemic and everything, watching DeWine every day. It's just.
Same. You know, it's interesting you say that too, because in the last 4 months or something, my little guy and his friend down the street were in the house playing, and I had the, you know, evening news with David Muir on, you know, World News Tonight or whatever, and stuff about Ukraine was on. And I grew up with, you know, my mom always having the news on, you know, Peter Jennings, you know, at 6:30, the local news and all that. So we always had the news on and we weren't really shielded from it either. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I remember just, you know, remember when Geraldo had his talk show back in the 90s?
I do.
Yeah.
Right? I remember seeing a segment on there about like Satanists or something. So I was always afraid somebody was going to like, you know, some crazy Satanist was going to be in the neighborhood and like kill my pet or something or kidnap me, you know, so maybe that's not great, but that I felt really weird because the little girl that was playing with my son was like, oh my gosh, what happened? Why is that building like that? Why is that blown up? And I was like, oh, I was like, there's something really bad. I mean, I just tried to like explain it very gently because I'm like, oh my God, she's going to go home and tell her mom that I...
guess what we heard in Anjanette's house.
Right, like the neighborhood children have been traumatized at Anjanette's house because she had the evening news on. So I turned it off and I was like, oh my God. So I just try, but I also try to explain to Jay, like I'll sit him down and I'll say, you know, there's this guy in another country in Russia and he's doing really bad things, because I think you can't totally shield kids from that. Like you have to be able to explain it to them in some terms that don't scare the living daylights out of them, because you don't want them like growing up without any resiliency or knowing that bad things in the world happen. I mean, you have to kind of let them know about these things.
You've been, you launched your own radio show last year, Simply Money on 55 KRC, 2 p.m.s on Saturday, right?
It's Simply Medicine. It's
Simply Medicine.
Yeah.
Not Simply Money. Simply Medicine. I knew that. Simply Medicine. Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, it's another, I mean, I host it, of course, but it wasn't my idea. It was someone else's idea, and it's his project, and I host it. So yeah, that's interesting too, because I think that people really need to take better care of themselves. And I've always believed that. And, you know, I know that I watched my father pass away from cancer at a very young age. And so, and that was his doing. I mean, he didn't take care of himself and he did things that led to that. So it's kind of something I feel pretty passionately about, and, you know, eating healthy, and I don't drink, I don't smoke. I used to smoke, but I quit smoking back in 2000. Was it early 2001? I'd have to look, but somewhere in there. You know, I was stupid when I was in high school and tried cigarettes and thought, oh, I'll just try a cigarette. You know, you do some little rebellious things when you're in high school. And then I got hooked on it and it was awful. So I always say starting smoking was the stupidest thing I ever did. Quitting smoking was the best thing I ever did. It was also incredibly difficult, but I did it, and I'm so thankful that I did. So, I just think we kind of do things to ourselves that aren't that healthy, that are part of our culture. And, you know, I've done stories over the years about obesity and how that contributes to so many health problems, and people don't have to be obese. You know, there's more to it than just eating poorly. I mean, sometimes people have things going on psychologically that contribute to that, but I just like being able to give people some information that helps them maybe live a little healthier lifestyle and maybe live a little longer and feel better doing it.
Is that, I just have one more question. Is that a big transit? Obviously you've hosted shows on TV. You host shows on TV now, or, you know, on Law and Crime Network. You hosted a show on Local 12. Is that a big transition from hosting on TV versus hosting on radio?
It was a little bit, yeah. And I do a podcast on Law and Crime, too, with one of my colleagues, Jesse Weber. So it was, but it was exciting for me because I started my career in radio. And when I say I started my career in radio, I mean, I had an internship at 700 WLW. So maybe that's like misstating it. But I always loved radio when I was a kid. I thought that was so cool. And so I actually really I really like radio. So it was, it's much different. It's a much different animal because it can be a little more loose and, you know, don't have to, you know, worry about saying, I can be a little more, you know, I don't have to have somebody approving what I say and things like that. So, yeah. I like it. And I like being able to like talk to people. I just love having conversations with people and interviewing interesting people. And so I feel like you can really do that with radio and podcasting. So I always like doing new things. And I feel like, do you guys ever feel like, you know, you cover a story, and at least I felt like this when I was working in local news, it was like every year the same stories would come up over and over again.
Definitely. And some of the city council members.
I felt like I was just doing the same story all the time. And so I think that this, I think that I like being able to feel like I'm not doing that all the time. And I do kind of miss working in local news sometimes. Don't get me wrong. I'm not bashing it. But I did kind of feel like that sometimes. It was like, oh, I'm doing this story for like the fifth year in a row. I don't know. I guess that's just with life, though, I guess that's just part of it.
But I love doing the podcast with Jason because I feel like it gives the Inquirer audience and Cincinnati.com like a different view of things. Like Jason and I, depending on the week, it's kind of quiet right now. People noticed from the beginning of the podcast this week. It's slower news period right this second, other than talking about PG for the umpteenth time. But this is like a window. Jason and I will talk about things like we talk about them ourselves. And it's just like sitting next to each other or like on the phone at night. And I like giving people a different look at what we're thinking and doing. And the podcast is a way to do that.
Oh, I agree with you 100%. I think that's so cool, like with the podcasting format, that you can just have conversations. Because so many times I feel like you know, you can't really have a conversation. Like if you're writing, you can write like a story, and I love to write for print, but you can write a story, but you're still maybe not conveying everything that the subject is saying. And I feel like with podcasting and radio, you can do that. You can be a little more in depth. So I do enjoy that aspect of it. And you get a better, I feel like you can provide more information, and it's just, I don't know, it's like a conversation with friends sometimes. It's not always like that, but I do love that aspect of it.
Anjanette, always appreciate you, appreciate what you do. I appreciate you joining us here. I want to let people know you are just another piece of the work that you do is your Twitter, and you have a fantastic Twitter feed. It's at Anjanette Levy, number 5, at Anjanette Levy 5.
Oh, it's Anjanette 5.
Dang, no, Levy. Simply Medicine, Simply Money, Anjanette. So it's at Anjanette 5. Sorry, like I am not on my game today. At Anjanette number 5.
That's okay. I just said like Anjanette Levy 5 would be so long. I was like having a 3-syllable first name. I'm just like, gosh, couldn't my mom just have named me Kim or something? But I'm just kidding.
Well, at Anjanette 5, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Jason and Sherry. I appreciate it.
All right, thanks again to Anjanette Levy for joining us today. Always appreciate her insight, her return to the podcast.
Just like I'm on the phone with one of my friends today.
Yeah. That brings us to our That's So Cincinnati moment of the week. And I guess I'm providing it. Sherry says I'm providing it today.
I have to say I have been super boring, and that has been pointed out by a lot of my friends who said, apparently, I promised that after the trial I would do things again. Yeah. But I have been so tired. I did nothing the last 2 weekends. I've been working still, a lot of follow-up stories there, and that was one of the most exhausting things I've ever covered, and I'm still recovering from covering it. So anyway, I've been pretty boring.
How about a bit of a role reversal, because I'm usually the boring one. But my last couple weeks have been just jam-packed. FC Cincinnati match, Kings Island at night with my, it turned out to be my son Roman, 5 years old, and he and I end up at Kings Island riding all the coasters. Well, the coasters he can ride, he's not tall enough for Orion or Diamondback, but he loves the Beast. And so, boom. And then Monday was my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. And we did Top Golf that day. So it's been a very fun filled, certainly July has been very fun filled. So Cincinnati.
But I saw that you did Top Golf for your birthday, and I actually love that. It is such a good thing. You can do it with your friends. I thought, you know what, we could go there like as a workouting. I was like, because it's a really fun place. And but the kids, you can do it as adults, as very adult offerings, or you can do it with your families and the kids. And so I thought that was a really good choice, and we're going to follow in your footsteps and do that too. Although I still haven't been to Kings Island.
This year?
There's time. This year.
Has it been a while since you've been?
I do not think we went last year, but we do love it. And so it's time to go back for sure. Yeah.
I went this year for the first time in like 10, 12 years.
You know what I need?
Now I've gone like 5 times this
I need
year.
Like 1,000 days off to do all the things I need to do.
Yeah, we got the season passes, so it's a lot of fun. Anyway, great to see you again.
I know. And you guys should see Jason's tan. Speaks. He's been outside a lot doing all these things.
That's coaching baseball is what that is. Yeah. Anyway, I think that's a wrap for this week. Catch us on Twitter at Jay Williams Cincy with a Y, at Sharon Coolidge with an E. We'll catch you next week.
With an E?
Coolidge, right?
Oh, I see.
With an E on the end? Yeah, right. Catch you next week.